Online and pick up weekly in Bethel, Ellenville, Liberty, Livingston Manor, Margaretville, Narrowsburg, and Wurtsboro. Supporting agriculture and contributing to a healthier community. CatskillsFoodHub.org. From the River Reporter newspaper, RiverReporter.com. And from listeners like you.
Good evening. Welcome to the local edition. News and information that keeps you connected in the Catskills in Northeast Pennsylvania. I'm your host, Jason Dole. Coming up in the program, we'll be talking about eagles. The Eagle Watch. Eagle Watch training that the Delaware Highlands Conservancy is putting on. We'll be talking to them coming up in the second half of the program. Also hear the Native American perspective on eagles, just a clip of that. Here in November, for Native American History and Heritage Month. But first, as we do this week, it's a major holiday, Thanksgiving holiday weekend, kicking off a larger holiday season where families are getting together, gathering. But positive COVID-19 cases across the country are on the rise. Families gather. The CDC recently recommended booster shots for all adults to help mitigate these rising cases. On the phone with us now, it's Dr. Bruce Elswig, family medicine physician at Crystal Run Healthcare, here to tell us how we can enjoy this year's Thanksgiving and also be safe from COVID. Hello, Dr. Elswig. Welcome back to the program.
Well, thank you so much, and thank you for having me on the program.
So,
pleasure to be here.
Thanks. And is that right? Are cases on the rise? And if so, why?
Absolutely. Cases are on the rise, especially in Sullivan County, as you can see from the numbers that are published on a daily basis on the Sullivan County website for public health. I'm also the medical director for public health for the county, as well as being a primary care physician at Crystal Run. We really need to be aware, especially since there's a significant segment of the population in Sullivan County that is not, unfortunately, immunized, how important the vaccines are and how very important the third dose is for those who have had the first two, and even more importantly, get that first dose if you haven't had any. It's so important to protect ourselves, our loved ones, and our community.
Now, read those numbers earlier today as part of the news, the latest COVID-19 numbers for Sullivan County, and it looked like things were starting to go down maybe gradually about a month ago, but then the last 2 weeks it was steady climbing in the number of active cases and those on quarantine. They dropped down again this week, but they've started to climb up again just today, and two additional deaths were recorded on the dashboard.
Unfortunately, yes. Two additional deaths, more people in quarantine, more positives. It's just sad to see this happen to the county, to the people in our county.
Yeah.
And it's all about protection, especially with the holiday coming up. It's so important when we gather with friends and family to make sure that those around us have been immunized, and especially those who may have immune compromised situations, those people on chemotherapy, people with chronic illness. We want to protect those that we love by being immunized. And it's so important to be able to enjoy the holiday with your families. And there's no reason, if you're fully immunized and there is no risk involved with those that you're around, to be able to enjoy a holiday dinner unmasked. But please be immunized. Be considerate of those who are not immunized, be considerate of those who are immune suppressed or unable to manufacture the antibodies that are necessary from the shots.
This time last year, we were a couple of weeks into a steady climb. There was a steady climb from like the end of October right on through into January in the number of cases, and it really was the second wave of the pandemic for our area. A lot of parts of the country had a wave last summer. We didn't have many cases during the summer. They really picked up towards the end of the fall, heading into the end of the year, the start of this year. But there was no vaccine then. So I'm just wondering, and I know you're going to advise that people do the right things, and we'll keep mentioning that. But just, I don't know. I'm just wondering what's going to happen this heading into this winter season, knowing that the colder weather impacts this. On one hand, the numbers are going up. But on the other hand, this isn't last year. We do have a vaccination. So what can we expect in the coming months?
I'm certainly afraid that we're going to see an uptick because of the significant number of people that are unimmunized or under-immunized in our county. I'm terribly afraid of this. I do telehealth in addition to my office visits because we don't allow patients with symptoms to come into the office. And I've seen a significant rise in the positives and in people who are symptomatic on the telehealth that I do with my patients and those in the practice. We also need to talk about the children. Just since the vaccine for children has just recently been approved, and children can harbor an infection and spread it without being terribly ill. Although, and there actually have been, as of the 18th of November, 6.8 million positive cases among children in the country and over 700 deaths from the disease. And we're not even talking about those people who have the disease and have a mild case, who are long haulers, who have brain fog, or who have significant long-term effects with loss of taste or smell or other of the side effects from having the COVID vaccine. I don't think that we're out of the woods yet. I don't want to, people shouldn't have a false sense of security that the disease is going down, because we can see the numbers in front of us, particularly locally, and actually in New York State as a whole. Although we do have a great percentage of our patients, that people in the county that are immunized, we still don't have, we haven't reached that threshold of 70% of people that have been fully immunized, which is critical.
You know, one thing that's changed, and you correct me if I'm wrong, but my understanding is that as opposed to a year or so ago, when we were concerned about what somebody might call a super spreader event, where people get together and then there's like one person and then it spreads to a whole bunch of people. I was understanding that that's not really what's happening anymore. And that just makes me wonder how are people contracting COVID in person? What are the scenarios in which people are contracting this? And because that plays into how to avoid it, especially when it comes to being with your family during the holidays.
Well, I think that I did mention that people that are under-immunized or not immunized are the greatest potential spreaders, and also children who have not been immunized, who may not manifest symptoms, can certainly spread the disease without being considered ill. So we need to just be cautious. And, you know, super spreader events still have the potential for happening. When I see on television concerts with no restrictions and gatherings of people where they're not checking for immunization status and where people are very cavalier about wearing masks in closed-in situations. You know, I think that wearing the mask, going to the Thanksgiving dinner, getting there, and when you're eating dinner, taking them off is appropriate. And if everybody in the room, if the family is gathering together and everyone is fully immunized, I think enjoy the holiday, enjoy your family, enjoy your children, your grandchildren, your aunts, your uncles, but just make sure that everybody is protected. And I have seen cases of breakthrough. I've seen some significant breakthroughs of people who have had two immunizations and still get sick from COVID. Granted, they're less likely to be hospitalized and die, but some of them do. So we still need to exercise caution. It's not over yet, and I don't want to cast a pall on the holiday, but just be cautious, be careful. Enjoy the comfort of your loved ones and enjoy a wonderful meal, but be careful as far as exposing yourself to those who aren't immunized.
Right. And then I guess also along those lines, well, like you say, you got to be serious with people. You don't want to be a downer, but you got to be honest about what's going on so that people are informed. There has been some good news in the last couple weeks, which is that children under 12 are getting vaccinated now. And it looks to me, and I don't know if this is something you can speak to or not, but following the numbers on the Sullivan County COVID-19 dashboard, it looks like I'm starting to see the number of those who've gotten vaccines or completed their vaccine regimen starting to move up a little quicker than they were a few weeks ago. Is that in part because young people are getting their vaccinations and getting completed?
Yes, it is in part due to that, but also because I think there's a greater sense of awareness and urgency with the holidays coming up that people who want to travel, who want to get together with their families, are being sensitive to getting the vaccine. And also because of the workplace requirements that have been instituted as far as getting the vaccine or don't work. It's created an issue for some employers where people are not coming back to work because they're not getting vaccinated. But I think that those who are wise are getting vaccinated, and we see the numbers ticking up of vaccinated adults and adolescents and children going to be going up. We had our first clinic for children at the firehouse in Monticello from public health last week, and we have another one tomorrow at the public health office in Liberty to immunize children from 5 to 12 years of age and above who haven't been immunized. But it's a wonderful opportunity to protect the children and subsequently to protect the adults that they're exposed to.
Okay.
And I'm hopeful that this will make a big difference in the numbers over the next few weeks and months. We want to get the kids fully immunized before Christmas, certainly.
Yeah. Is this effort going to continue past this holiday, this week?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. Great.
Tomorrow we hope to have a full clinic and immunize as many children as we can. And that'll be at Public Health at 50 Community Lane in Liberty.
Okay. Remind people again what the time is. And
it's from 2 to 6 p.m. at Public Health. And if you have the capability of getting online and registering, that's the ideal situation. But I believe that they're also accepting walk-ins as well.
And that's just past Hanafy Park, right?
Yes, it is.
Yep.
Just past the
Veterans Cemetery.
Veterans Cemetery.
Yep. Okay, for folks familiar with Liberty, I'm just putting those landmarks out there just to make it easier to get your kids out there and get them vaccinated. But you see, Dr. Ellswick, there's some good news among all these serious concerns that we have, that there's some good stuff still happening in terms of the battle with COVID.
Absolutely. And also we're doing testing at schools, which is going to be a wonderful opportunity to diminish the risk of kids who may have asymptomatic infection. We can identify them. We can get them separated from the other children and appropriately treated. So testing in schools is going to happen in Sullivan County as well.
Okay, great. Is there anything else that you want? Well, you know what? Here's something I want to ask, and I don't know if you've thought about this at all, but like, what are the concerns with the flu? The flu is not COVID, yet some of the precautions that people, you know, take for COVID also apply to the flu. Is there anything in particular people need to keep in mind as we head into a flu season where people may be more active than they were last flu season?
It's fascinating that I didn't see a single case of flu last year, but I'm starting to see it again this year because of the relaxed masking and social distancing. So please get your flu vaccine. And one other plug I'd like to make is that for those children and adults who have not done their preventive care, their normal vaccinations, their colonoscopies, their checkups with their doctor, please, please, please don't ignore those things that may prevent serious disease by getting appropriately immunized for other things and getting your preventive testing done, such as colonoscopy, your pneumonia vaccines, your flu vaccine, for kids getting all their childhood vaccinations. It's so important not to ignore the things that we know that we can prevent.
Yeah, and just the ongoing daily things people deal with, diabetes, pre-diabetes, high blood pressure. I mean, there's some folks that are supposed to be on medicine and just kind of let things go, and you just can't because it'll catch up with you.
Absolutely. And the name of the game is prevention on so many levels, not just for the COVID, which is critically important right now, but also for all those other diseases that you just identified.
All right. Well, Dr. Ellswick, is there anything else you want to leave folks with before we go tonight?
Added last week, don't hesitate. just vaccinate.
Absolutely. That's the line. Well, all things considered, I hope you have a great holiday this week, okay?
And you too. And thank you so much for having me on your program. And I look forward to looking for better numbers in our county because people are becoming more aware.
All right. Me too. Thanks so much. Have a good holiday.
Thank you. Have a good evening and have a great holiday.
And once again, that was Dr. Bruce Elswick, family medicine physician at Crystal Run Healthcare, also overseeing aspects of the public health response in Sullivan County. And you heard what he said. He said it again. We'll say it again. Don't hesitate. Vaccinate. And along the lines of precautions, also point out we do have our music sale coming up on Saturday, which is an in-person event we did not have last year, but it will be a masked event. If you plan on attending, plan on bringing your mask. We also have music sale-themed masks that will be available for purchase. This is Radio Catskill, local edition. We'll be right back.
Radio Catskill's annual music sale returns to the White Sulphur Springs Fire Hall this Saturday. We have records, CDs, stereo equipment, musical instruments, and more. Bid on rare and collectible items at the silent auction table. Browse through bins of vinyl priced to move. The WJFF Radio Catskill Music Sale this Saturday in White Sulphur Springs. Doors open at 11. Info at WJFFradio.org.
Hey, it's Francis Lamb, and this year, once again, Thanksgiving is probably going to be a little different still for a lot of us. But one thing's not going to change, our annual Thanksgiving Day special, Turkey Confidential. We'll answer your cooking questions with incredible guests. David Chang and Priya Krishna, Patty Hinnich, Kenji Lopez-Alt, and Southern Baking Queen Cheryl Day. That's Turkey Confidential on Thanksgiving Day from 8 p.m.
Starting at noon on Radio Catskill.
Welcome back to the local edition. News and information is keeping you connected. The Catskills in Northeast Pennsylvania. I'm your host, Jason Dole. A bill is making its way through the Pennsylvania General Assembly, and if it completes its journey, it would help ensure a smooth transition to graduation for young people who face personal challenges outside of school. And for this now, Patricio Rubio has more. Okay, we'll try that again. One moment. Well, we're having a little bit of trouble with this audio. We'll hope to have it for you in just one moment.
From river to river, mountain to mountain, this is Radio Catskill. WJFF Jeffersonville, public radio for the Catskills and Northeast Pennsylvania.
And sorry about that. Here's Patricio with that report right now.
A bill making its way to the Pennsylvania General Assembly will help ensure a smooth transition to graduation for young people who face personal challenges outside of school. Senate Bill 324 would help address barriers to graduation for kids experiencing homelessness or who are in foster care or juvenile justice systems. The bill creates a point of contact at the student's school to help support them as they return to the classroom after a time away from the education system. Kate Burdrick of Juvenile Law Center in Philadelphia says it's difficult for families to navigate the process while children are also dealing with the possible trauma they experience while away from home.
Having an actual human who you know is in charge of helping you to feel more a part of the school community, to be making sure you're in the right courses, it's just so important that there's someone actually tasked with that.
The point of contact would also immediately request the student's records from the previous school and ensure they had connected with mental health services. Senate Bill 324 unanimously passed the Senate in June and passed out of the House Education Committee yesterday. It now heads to the vote on the House floor. Advocates say the children in foster care and juvenile justice systems who are experiencing homelessness often have to unexpectedly change schools for a variety of reasons. Burdick says when the academic credits do not properly transfer to their new school, it sometimes can lead to a graduation delay, which Senate Bill 324 also aims to address.
it can be extremely devastating for the young person when they're trying to reconnect with school to have this host of system level barriers put up. And what we have heard for many years from young people directly is just how completely exasperating this problem is.
Only 75% of the Pennsylvania youth in foster care received their high school diploma or GED by age 21, as compared with 92% of the students in the Commonwealth who are not in the foster care system, according to 2018 data from Annie E. Case Foundation. The report comes from Emily Scott from Keystone State News Connection, a statewide news service for Pennsylvania.
And this is Radio Catskill, the local edition news and information. We're keeping you connected right here in the Catskills, also Northeast Pennsylvania. And we're going to continue right along now with our next story. And Delaware Highlands Conservancy, they're holding an Eagle Watch. So we're going to be talking about that in just a moment. But yes, oh, I'm sorry. Hold on. Yes. And that's what we're doing. And the Delaware Highlands Conservancy's Eagle Watch training. For their Eagle Watch program, the training runs through January and February on weekends only. Virtual training is held on Zoom Saturday, December 4th from 10:30 in the morning to 12:30 in the afternoon. Also on Saturday, December 11th. And that's only next week and the week after because time is flying. Patricio Rabayo spoke with Bethany Zarnowski, Communications Development Manager for the Delaware Highlands Conservancy. And he started off by asking her what the Eagle Watch was all about and why watching the eagles is important.
Well, in our region, the Upper Delaware River area, hundreds of bald eagles migrate here every winter when lakes and rivers freeze over in Canada and upstate New York. So they're here looking for open waters where they can fish and healthy forests where they can perch and roost since they're just here for the winter. They don't build their nests here. So the Conservancy offers our winter eagle watching program in January and February. And a big component of that is our volunteer group that staffs our eagle observation areas throughout the region, our winter field office in Lackawaxen, and helps to guide our bus tours that we offer.
And how many years have you been holding this Eagle Watch?
Merged with the Eagle Institute in 2012, so we've been hosting the program since then. Prior to that, it was hosted by the Eagle Institute, which was a separate organization that was, I believe, since 1998, working in the Upper Delaware region.
The first session is going to be held Saturday, December 4th at 10:30 on Zoom. And the second one is going to be held December 11th, and that's when it's going to be in person. Can you tell us the difference between the two sessions?
Sure. The first training on Zoom is for both our new and our returning volunteers. So we have many people that come back year after year to volunteer with the Conservancy. So this year we're hosting that virtually just to go through the training for all of our volunteers. And then on December 11th, which is the following Saturday, we're asking our new volunteers to join us at the Van Scott Nature Reserve in Beech Lake, Pennsylvania, for a brief in-person training and to pick up all the materials such as the training manuals and hand warmers and that type of thing, so everyone's all set for the winter season.
Now, this might be an odd question, but I've seen reports during the pandemic how the lack of people in national parks or in areas where like bird watches happen, it has an effect on the wildlife there, the absence of human life. Has that happened here locally with the bald eagles? Had the pandemic had any effect on the bald eagle population?
That's a great question, and I'm not aware of the answer. I would think not. I think our region was already a healthy winter habitat and year-round for the resident eagles that live here. We had hundreds of eagles that migrate here in the winter, as well as several breeding pairs that live here. So our region is already very conscious about protecting those birds and protecting their habitat. So I think that has continued, but I can't say if there's a big change during the past couple of years.
The first session happens on Zoom on December 4th. Where can folks sign up for this?
All that info is on our website at DelawareHighlands.org/events, and you can just sign, fill out the form there, and you'll get all the info for that Zoom training and for the second in-person training.
besides the Eagle Watch, what else is happening in 2021 for the Delaware Highlands Conservatory?
Well, the big news for the Conservancy this year is the opening of our new Van Scott Nature Reserve in Beach Lake. That just opened this fall, and it's a 144-acre property that was donated to the Conservancy that is now open to the public. It has about 3 miles of walking trails. So we invite people to come here and enjoy this beautiful property and take a walk on the trails. I just want to note that we will be closed during hunting season, the firearms hunting season, which is November 27th through December 11th. So those 2 weeks, the reserve will not be open, but otherwise we certainly invite the public to come and enjoy this beautiful property.
Right. And those who haven't been to an Eagle Watch, it's an amazing thing to see these birds up close through binoculars, to see them in their natural habitat. Anything else that we have not touched on, Bethany, that you want our listeners to know about?
We're currently selling tickets for our winter 2022 Eagle Watch bus tours. We have 4 dates available in January and February, and they do sell out very quickly. So if anyone does want to join us for a bus tour this winter, I would encourage you to visit our website and purchase those tickets as soon as possible, because they will sell out probably prior to January.
And can you give that website one more time?
That's DelawareHighlands.org.
Thank you so much, Bethany, for talking to us. Let us know about the Eagle Watch training program that's coming up for the Delaware Highlands Conservatory. That's happening on December 4th. Thank you so much for joining us on the Local Edition.
Thank you very much.
For Radio Catskill, I'm Patricia Rubio.
This is a Local Edition. Well, Thursday, it's Thanksgiving. It makes today a Thanksgiving Eve Eve. It's also the National Day of Mourning, as organized by the United American Indians of New England. National Day of Mourning is an opportunity to reflect on Native American heritage, the role Thanksgiving played in the lives of their ancestors, and the fact that Thanksgiving Day serves as a continuing reminder of the suffering of Native people in America. With that in mind, and the fact that November is also Native American Heritage Month, Janice Adams is rebroadcasting her interview with Nayohet Graymorning, professor of anthropology and Native American studies at the University of Montana, on her program this Saturday at noon. And we've got a clip from that program to play for you right now to take us out of the Local Edition.
What are some of those iconic things that we may think of as being authentically one thing that actually are indigenously another?
Well, there's lots of things. I don't think people realize that there's probably more than 50% of the states are Native names. Ohio, for instance, Ohio name means beautiful river.
Mm-hmm.
Massachusetts.
Connecticut is supposedly another, yes.
The other thing for Thanksgiving is it's interesting that, you know, people, and you may be aware of this, that turkey seems to be the center, you know, centerpiece of a meal. Well, that was not supposed to happen. Originally, when that iconic meal was supposed to happen, the Native people brought in an eagle for the meal. And because the country was picking in an eagle as a symbol of the country, they had to find another bird.
Interesting. I guess the eagles are grateful. the turkeys are not happy, but the eagles are probably very grateful for that. But on another level, what then was the symbolism, if that's the case, that because the Europeans wanted to make the eagle the symbol, what did the eagle and the turkey already symbolize to the indigenous people?
Well, the eagle, it varies from place to place. A lot of people don't realize that, and for a number of tribes, an eagle was part of a food source. In American structure, the eagle that has become the symbol is a bald eagle. So that was the eagle that was brought. But it's the golden eagle that carries prominence among Native people. The golden eagle is an incredible bird. It has the ability to fly. It has a special lens that can drop over its eye that polarizes the sun. And so it can fly directly into the sun and still be able to see things.
Wow.
And it's the it's that eagle that people connect with as far as being a messenger between Earth and the sky world. It carries prayers. The eagle is seen as Babayan looks from looks afar, can see things in great distances, and so part of that carries an idea of being able to see things yet to come. If a person is imbued with some spirit of the eagle, so it's the golden eagle that really